supposed to cover last week, phronema. Phronema seems to be a condition of a life lived. Something else is propelling it. Look carefully at Romans 8 again, the scriptures. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds. And here's the question, which comes first? Did they set their minds and then they live? Or they live and then they set their minds? If you examine the scripture, which came first? The living. The living. Right? There are a few age-old questions, like we say. The chicken came first or the egg came first? Right? The Bible says the chicken. That settles it. Right? God did not make eggs. And then the birds came. God made birds. And then they lay their eggs. So, Romans 8, which came first? The living or the setting of the mind? The living. The lifestyle produced the mindset of phronema. So phronema is the result of entomesis. I'm linking the two together. Something deeper is driving it. Now we realize that sometimes your mind affects a decision. Right? The nous and the diurnal. It affects you inwardly. So looking at the three groupings. Nous and dianoia affects you from outside in. Because from the spirit, it can affect in. It can be either way. But when it comes to entomesis and phronema, it's the something else, the living, that affects the whole position of your mindset. So to define the third word, phronema, phronema is like a dried cement, the result of a life lived. It still can be corrected by the power of the Spirit and by the blood of Jesus. But it is like some setting on you that keep bringing it forth. Let me try to illustrate. These spiritual points are hard to bring through, but let me try to illustrate. If you have, for example, if you don't believe something can be done, something on your inside brings out 20 reasons why it can't be done. And remember this just to encourage you. Whatever situations you're facing right now in your life, whatever things that quote unquote are hard or impossible to you, if you don't believe that it can be done, you will constantly have 5, 6, 10, 20 reasons coming to you why you can't. Something within you said that it cannot be done, and your reasoning will be that. Have you seen people debating? The side that already set their mind that it cannot be done will argue fantastically or with great oratory and great words and use and poetic illustrations to show why it can't be done. Not because it can't be done, but because they set their mind and they can find the reasons for it. Now the side that believe it can be done can also find reasons. So it's not just the reasoning, it's not just the visualizing. Something inside is causing the same brain or mind to be used positively or negatively. Something deep, some setting is turning and churning out the thoughts and the visions. And those who don't believe it can be done begin to see visions of doom and visions of why it won't succeed. Those who believe it can begins to, through time with the Holy Spirit, sees visions of it completed. Sometimes the Holy Spirit short circuits the thing by giving a vision of it completed before, because He has to help us and guide us along that way, the operation of the mind. So what we are trying to get is this setting, something inside is setting it to either way. It's just like a vacuum cleaner. It can be sucked. I'm sure most models could do it. It can be put to blow or to suck. The same engine, the same power, the same thing can be set to blow or to suck. Just a turning of some mechanical instrument. The same power that is sucking is the same power that is now blowing. So something within us is the setting that causes our nous and our dianoia to function in a certain way. Something deep called the entomesis and the anoia of the heart. How important is this? It is so important that God, by looking at it, can tell what is going to happen. He can look at that setting and he can see what's happening. I'll give you one example. In the book of Deuteronomy, just before Moses sang a song called the Song of Moses, because he didn't know Moses was singing at that time. Here he is in the wilderness singing a song to them. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 is the entire song, which we shall not sing to you. But just to remember, it was a song. Have you found it? Deuteronomy. You look at chapter 31, the last verse, it says, "Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." So he actually spoke them, not only sung them, in verse 30. So there was a song. God gave him a song to share with the people. What was the purpose of that song? This is what the Lord said in chapter 31. Remember, this was the good people, the good generation. The old ones have all died over 40 years in the wilderness. And these were the good generation that was about to come under the leadership of Joshua. And we know from later stories of Joshua that they generally, you know, had success. These were the good guys. And they were about to go in to possess a land, and this was Moses' last few words to them. And God, looking at this generation, said in chapter 31 to Moses, and the Lord appeared to them and said to Moses in verse 16, we are in Deuteronomy 31, verse 16. "And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them. They will forsake me and break my covenant, which I made with them." How did the Lord know all this? Of course, He's God, but watch how He knew it. "Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say that they have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us. I will surely hide my face in that day." That's why He got Moses to give them this song, so that when the song is passed from generation to generation to generation, they will remember when all those things happen that the Lord knew it was going to happen. And be encouraged, because the Lord doesn't give doomsday prophecy. The Lord said these things will happen, but if you keep seeking me, I will come back to you. So it was also a positive song. It was a song that is warning them, but at the same time telling them there is hope still. Now that song has to pass on to many generations. That's why God gave it in a song. How did the Lord know? If you look very carefully at all these things that the Lord said, and then He puts this song to them in verse 21. Verse 21, that's a key. "Then it shall be when many evils and troubles have come upon them." Remember, these are the good guys. "That this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants, for," and here's the key, "for I know the inclination of their behavior today." even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them. Do you know how the Lord knew? By looking at them. By looking deep within them, He could see some darkness. Generally, these were good people. But remember, every thought is a seed when it gets buried deep within. Now, there are superficial thoughts, you know. You don't have to dwell on them. But when the thoughts, remember last week, three levels of thoughts. When the thoughts enter into a realm where it controls you, it forms a pattern, it sinks deep in your dianoia, into your anoia, and becomes part of your phronema, there is a seed there that will have to finish its course. God knew that. God looked deep in them and could see not the thoughts. They haven't even thought of evil yet. Look at it. They haven't even thought of doing evil. These are the good guys we're talking about. The bad guys have all died. But deep within them, God saw the Greek, the English translation, inclination of their heart. Some of your translation find it hard to bring it forth, and they give different words for it. I don't know what words that some of you translate. Intents of the heart, probably. Oh, there you have it. Imaginations of the heart. You see how our English translators are struggling with the word. Now, your Hebrew scholar is over there. What would your Hebrew Bible be saying on that? Inclination? Okay. It's the word in verse 21. Inclination of their behavior today. Now, they were behaving well. And by the way, that's the word yetzer. That is almost the Greek equivalent of the word dianoia. But yetzer contains something deeper too.
If pen have a number of meanings, if pen mean information or intent, its basic form would be form or shape.
Form or shape, correct. And we have a series of tapes, messages on just studying the word yetzer. Yetzer has been translated as thing, form, and shape. In the book of Isaiah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So notice, God saw the form. God saw the shape. And remember this. Here's another one. Now hold your place in Deuteronomy 31. And look way back in the time of Noah. Before the flood came, we know the people were evil. They were bad. They were doing bad things. Those are bad guys doing bad things. But what God said was remarkable. Because before the judgment, God said in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. Now that was things that already done in the past and in the present. But look at it. And that every intent or yetzer or inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So God not only saw what they did in the past, God not only saw what they did in the present, but God saw what was worse to come. And God has to step in. So you have God preemptive strike. You know, use those words. Before the wickedness would destroy every good man and the whole earth was gone, He has to step in to prevent the evil. Is it? How does He know it was going to happen? When the thoughts in our head and our mind pass the stage of nous, pass the stage of noia, dianoia, and enter into inclination. Something that is so strong like a seed, it has to bear fruit. It has now become a powerful seed that will bear fruit. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, those were good people, but God saw a dark spot that he knew in generations to come.